Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
So just gone 8:36 Central African time. A lovely nasheed there, tell you, Boniface, and alhamdulillah, ma teri dua se. And yes, I'm tempted to ask Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam, was he his mother's duas where he is today? He loved his grandmother too. Perhaps even grandmother gave him a lot of duas. Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam, a member of parliament and also the leader of NFP. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, beautiful morning in Durban. Yes, indeed, Brother Shafat, what is life without a mother? I think that's the question we should all ask ourselves. On the latest news, we have, well, of course, the controversy around whether to wear or not to wear the mask continues. Many experts, including the NICD, are saying that, you know, don't be in a hurry to remove it, particularly in indoor and confined spaces. That's where we are in terms of that. But the infection rate still seems to be hovering around 800, 900 a day on average. And, of course, the final report of the Zonda Commission has been released, and there are lots and lots of unanswered questions. However, many experts are saying that President Ramaphosa was the enabler of state capture in the country by virtue of being responsible for the deployment. And whilst many of these people that are implicated in state capture were appointed in the different positions in state-owned companies and state-owned institutions. Of course, there's some kind of controversy or chaos going on in the United States after the Supreme Court gave judgment on the issue of abortions, and of course, rightfully so. But can you imagine right up to the president of the country raising concerns about the judgment? So it clearly shows you, you know, the direction in which they think. And of course, they are actually insulting the Supreme Court based on the judgment that it has actually provided. Of course, once again in South Africa, there is concerns being raised about the National Student Financial Aid. Some senior officials apparently are benefiting to student financial aid who do not qualify. But it would appear that there are lots and lots of students who are receiving this funding and not entitled to it at all. And so an investigation is underway. ESCOM says this illegal strike is what is leading to the stage for load shedding right now. And of course, former President Zuma is taking the Zondo report on review, he says. But what came out very clearly, there was one person, Brother Shafat, that blew the lid and was wanting to stop state capture. And of course, he's suffered a lot of attacks and insults and abuse. Praveen Godhan, because he's the one that blew the whistle initially, and he bore the brunt of that. But the important thing is this, you know, that he did not allow it to continue, and that's the difference between him and President Ramaphosa. President Ramaphosa allowed it to continue in full view of him, whereas Praveen Godhan raised concerns about it. So you can see where we are.
You know, Ahmed, I'd like to zoom in on the Zondo Commission. And, you know, you look at it, the estimated amount the Guptas allegedly benefited from state capture, 15.5 billion. And then you look at the cost of the Zondo Commission was almost 1 billion. And then 500 billion rand, the amount according to Public Enterprise Minister Praveen Godhan, that the South African economy lost after Nhlanhla Nene was axed as a finance minister. And it says, you know, 1 million, the amount of gigabytes of evidence that is available digitally on a digital format on the Zondo Commission and the types of people that were implicated in Optimum Coal Mine. And then you had these people like Tudu Zani Zuma, we had Aronika Raghavan, and we had people like Tamanasi Jiani, Tiabonga Gama, Anoj Singh, all these people that made a big name, but for the wrong reason. So, Abad, you know, losing so much of money, even this commission, I mean, this investigation, you know, it's going back on review. And then the person that, you know, enabled the investigation and thought, you know, he would be, he'll come out squeaky clean. Perhaps he's got his contact that he's doing the investigation and that will be pronouncing judgment. And the people that he appointed in the NPA and the prosecution agency, he thought, I'll get away. But all of a sudden, there came the farm gate, there came the dollar gate, and there came that that game of his, what you call that kudu, with the double on that lifted him up from his ground. How do you read the situation? It's like a comedy on politics, Ahmad.
Well, except for the concern for me is, a lot of interest appears to be directed to what the Zondo Commission has identified. But as we speak, the state is still captured, Brother Shifri, in all spheres of government. And if we're talking about 500 billion that it might have cost the economy, if we remember what the CEO of supply chain says, that South Africa loses 40% on goods and services in South Africa annually because you don't get value for money. And that is because many of these local people particularly have captured the state structures from local, provincial and national level. So while we're talking about 500 billion there, we have hundreds of billions continually being embezzled some international businesses as well, but more importantly, local, and that is what gave rise to the 17,500 millionaires and multimillionaires that you created in the country. Perhaps maybe we need to start going that line to go and investigate them and see whether the money that they've acquired is legitimate. And you'll be shocked at what the outcome is going to be. So right now, we must not also lose focus while we can deal with those that are implicated in the state capture. Simultaneously, we should put measures to stop it. And government has no interest in doing that. No political parties will ever govern anywhere. I'm not going to say no, because I'm one of them that's been raising it again and again and again, to such an extent that 2 weeks ago I said to the president, you're not serious about corruption, because this is what is happening. So, you know, and yes, we do govern, and I know there's corruption all over, and I'm saying stop it right now, put measures in place. So they're not willing to do that. So whilst you're concentrating on the Zondo Commission and those implicated, you are allowing people to continue looting. That's the problem we're sitting with. Until you put measures in place, it's going to continue because there's a conducive environment for looting. But that 500 billion that we're also talking about, Brother Shafat, it's a hell of a lot more than that, I can tell you. But again, you know, the question that we need to ask on the Zondo Commission, very conveniently, some people, I mean, let's look at the issue of Arthur Fraser, for instance. But why did the Zondo Commission not give him an opportunity to appear before it? Now, you know, we do know that there are a lot of concerns raised about his credibility and things like that, of course. And at the time, the chairperson, Chief Justice, or at that time was Deputy Chief Justice, but he said that there were no evidence directly implicating Arthur Fraser. And now he says there is. So I really believe that he ought to have given him an opportunity also to come there, because what do we know? Maybe we would have uncovered a lot more than we have. because I know some of these people know a lot more than they're even telling us, Brother Shepherd. I honestly believe that the day former President Jacob Zuma talks, and I hope for the sake of all of South Africa that he does, we're going to uncover stuff that is going to shock us. Because all these people know who's, you know, been enabling this state capture and corruption and who benefited, how they benefited, because they were all one close-knit family at once upon a time, enjoying the fruits of what they were doing. So that is what my concern is. So while we'll deal with these things, and we must deal with it appropriately and timeously to bring these people to book, let us not forget what is continuing in the country as we speak right now.
Yeah, when you look at former public protector Thuli Madonsela, and this is what she's saying, in the case of ordinary corruption, she says the people are bribed for financial gain. But in the case of state capture, people are not just being bribed, but being placed into certain key state roles to carry out specific actions. And this is where we are, we'll be targeting even, be alleging that many are alleging that this is what CR is doing. And she says, you as a state capture perpetrator have substituted yourself for the democratic process. This is the undermining of democracy by hijacking the state. And our state is being hijacked every second, Ahmed. Your thoughts?
I don't necessarily agree with her, Brother Shepherd. And let me tell you why. She is correct in a sense when she says that the state capture we're talking about, people were put into strategic positions so that they could collude with each other and benefit. There is no different to what happens on the, what I'm talking about, right from local, provincial, and national. Right now, they put in people there. They appoint, remember, it is the very same mayors and things that appoint the municipal managers, the CFOs, and the directors. And they all collude with each other. They put them there specifically so that they can benefit from it, not because they have the capacity. If they've had the capacity and things to deliver, you wouldn't find the particularly local government, 18 out of 257 municipalities that can only perform well. They are putting them there, Brother Shepherd, so that they could. You know, I think we underplay the seriousness of what is happening from local government level, because the concentration is on the national level. But exactly what they're doing at the national level, they're doing at local. In fact, it's worse at the local level, let me tell you now. It's worse. The amount of money may not be as much because of the lower budget that they get compared to national, but accumulatively, if you work it out, you are losing a lot more money than the 500 billion we're talking about at national level that you might have lost during this time of this capture. So let us not forget that these people collude with each other. I'm going to give you a good example. You know, even in my own party, Brother Shepherd, we had a complaint before the elections of somebody who changed the list. Okay? And we decided to deal with them. And when we started dealing with them, those that made the complaint, withdrew the complaint. Okay? And I got all kinds of reasons they were coming. But what did we find out eventually? Eventually, we found out they were pressurized by the business people that they were colluding with, Brother Shepherd. And the business people said, we invested a lot of money in this election. If you guys are going to fight and do all these things here, you might not go to the election. And as a result, we're going to lose out because we invested lots of money, which when you get into power and put on the people we're talking about, you're going to have to pay back to us. So you can see where it's coming from. It's exactly what is happening at local level as well. And some of them are controlling it with an iron fist, the corruption in these municipalities. I promise you, if you only go, or if we get the report that I'm asking corporate governance at a national level to give me on just KwaZulu-Natal for now, just one promise, you're going to be shocked what you're going to pick up. Who are the main people that are collecting all these tenders? How much they have been benefiting? How much more you've been paying for an item than it really worth? Okay, how they become millionaires, and you'll find a pattern that the same people have been benefiting. Like I said to you before, Brother Shafan, I know of two people. Both of them own 10 companies each, okay, 10 different companies each, and they own one common company. So you know what is going on at local. So I think the problem Masta Ashraf, and this is the heartbeat of delivery of services, is local government. This is where we have to stop it from. Okay, that's why the people at local level, you're not going to pick this up, Brother Shafiq, because national government, all we can do as parties, they go and attack each other. But you can't look directly at what they're not delivering and what they're delivering. But at local level, if you look at the quality of services, I mean, take Itegwini with the infrastructure and everything you're looking at, and all the rural municipalities, there's been no improvement in the last 28 years. So what is it telling you? Because the monies are going into the wrong direction, not into the delivery of services. So if 40% of your goods and services, of that money alone, is going to because of embezzlement and corruption, is going to unduly benefiting some people, what is really left to deliver the services to the people? That's why you find that at local level, there is very little or nothing happening.
Ahmed, I'm looking at this message on the screen, and Riyaz says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. I would like to concur that Tuli Madunsela, as a public protector, when she was a public protector, was the one that triggered out this investigation on Zuma. Perhaps it was a slanted one. The Gupta Gate is something that I will say was to get the head of Zuma. And we go deeper, you'll find that there's a sinister force behind this. It's a third force, complicit with Cyril Ramaphosa, that will want to get rid and got rid of Jay-Z. How do you react to Riyaz there, Ahmed?
Brother, there's two aspects to this. What we cannot deny is the fact that there is state capture in the country. It was, there is, and it's continuing. And it's like I said, it's continuing at all spheres of government. And nobody wants to do anything to stop it right now. So that's the one aspect. The second aspect is this. Yes, indeed, because of the infighting that's taking place in the ANC, leading to the conference, they're targeting each other. I mean, if you look at even what Arthur Fraser did, he knew about this a long time ago. He just found the opportune moment, the timing was good for him and for whoever he is working with to bring this. But he knew about it a long time ago. Now there's a lot more of this that they know about each other. So let us not forget that there has been corruption, there has been looting, people have unduly benefited, which they should not have done. At the same time, politicians are using these things to fight each other. So in other words, at some stage, they were all eating from the same pot, stealing and looting, and suddenly now, there is no honor among the thieves, so they have decided to start attacking each other, and so that's what's happening. And so we have what we have, a soap opera that's taking place right now. And it's coming out, and there'll be plenty more coming.
Ahmed, I don't know if you watched the Zuma Foundation yesterday giving their statements about, the Zondo Commission and so forth, and they're going to take it on appeal and so, and that will be happening. What was your thoughts? I don't know if you listened to them.
Well, no, I didn't yesterday, but I do know that it was expected that they, if you remember, Brother Shepherd, I said that is one of the reasons why I did not recommend Chief Justice Raymond Zondo for the position, because I said that he is, most of the state capture thing is going to go on review. You understand? And it means that now the Chief Justice will have to recuse himself almost for the entire duration of his term. Because he's been chairing the Zondo Commission report, so you know, it's going to be conflicted. So it was anticipated that they're going to, and also it's a delaying tactic in any event. But more importantly, you know, there's going to be questions raised about the credibility and why specifically certain people were left out and others were not. And there'll be a whole lot that's going on. So before anybody does see the orange overalls, it's going to take a long, long time. Perhaps there'll be a regime change by then, I would imagine. So don't expect, to get them to act speedily right now. You can hear all lots of statements and things like that, but whether it's going to happen or not, clearly not. But again, you know, the Zuma clan is saying that, you know, this was there to basically target just Zuma. And very importantly, yes, indeed, I think, because, you know, Brother Shavit, let us be honest about this. Why only attack former President Jacob Zuma? Because the person who allowed it to happen was the President Cyril Ramaphosa. He was in charge of deployment, not Zuma. So if you put all these people there that were colluding and enabled state capture, then you must take the responsibility for it. Now, the question that's going to ask, one needs to ask is, you knew what was going on. You put all these people, you put them there because that was your responsibility. So are we saying that you are so squeaky clean that you did not benefit in any way from any of these people at all, only Zuma? How is it you were there allowing it to happen, did the appointments, did everything, and you two were not benefiting at all, even though you knew it was wrong to put these people there? Now, so, you know, it means there needs to be a lot more interrogation, investigation to be done. And you're going to find out that, what other benefit was it to you to allow it to continue and appoint these people? You know, there has to be something. There has to be something.
Looking at a message from Ayub. Ayub says, Assalamu alaikum. Great show indeed, Brother Shafaat Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam. I want to know from Ahmad, in other words, you're suggesting we need to clean the slate and rewrite everything in this country, from the constitution, from appointing councillors and ministers to the president. We need to have a new paradigm. Ahmad, how do you respond to Ayub?
Absolutely, Brother Ayub. That's what I'm saying. We need to go back to the drawing board, look at where we were, where we are right now, what have we done wrong, what is not working for us, and how do we do it differently. We know there is corruption taking place. We know that political parties are benefiting from it. That's why they can sustain themselves and have the edge over smaller parties and things. I want to give you a good example. You must look at the chaos that's taking place in Itegwini at the moment. Many, many smaller parties said they will not even work with the ANC. They won't work with, they won't do this, they won't do that. What happened? After this, everybody is doing, all are going for positions. They want to be chairpersons of MPAC, chairpersons of this committee and that committee. It's all about themselves. It's, you know, they said something and they're doing something else. The entire system needs an overhaul. Entire system needs an overhaul. We need to go back to the drawing board. And of course, the people on the ground need to hold these people accountable. And I'm glad that there is some attempt. If you remember, Brother Shafut, we said time and time again, we need the people to come together, even withhold your rates now. But you must do it collectively. You can't have do it in isolation, because then you'll run into trouble with the municipality. And so that you can get them to deliver, because you're paying them to deliver and they're not delivering. So why should you be paying them? They need to be held accountable. But like that, the councillors, let me give you a good example. You would obviously be driving around in many parts of Itegwini at the moment, and all over the country. Different councillors and all are driving around all the time. Are you telling me they're not seeing all these things, lights that are not working, potholes that are all over, that they all promised they're going to do A, B, C, D, E, and E before the election? So where is this one supposed to be thing that they promised that they were going to do? There are lots of things that you don't even need money to do. Are they there? Can they be seen or heard? No. I'm shocked that some of the election posters are still on, Brother Shepherd. They're still on. And I know that normally your posters, if they own, not all, the municipality will remove them and charge you for it. But
you know, Ahmad, you reckon you're shocked at the posters that are still on. I'm shocked when you drive into Durban, you see the big mural of Zandila Gumede welcoming you into Durban. You know that big picture by the park gate. Hey, and there she is.
And how much is it costing, Brother Shavit? How much is it costing the ratepayers on a daily basis for that thing to be up? It's not free. Please, it's not free. You pay rental for those boards that you put up all over, and it's not cheap, let me tell you. It's not cheap. Maybe you should ask one of the councillors to find out exactly what it's costing us for that board to be up. And you'll be shocked how much you're paying for that. Yes, I think it's a good question to ask.
Yeah, Ahmed, you know, I tell you, it's really shocking what you see around you and what's happening. And these are the types of, look at Durban, Ahmed. Look at Durban. I used to be there like with the DDAT and all my offices and all, but there in Durban, it was squeaky clean. But Ahmed, I don't know, you're walking into a dirty rag. Talk to me about that, Ahmed.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Brother Shepherd. If you look at the condition of that, and a lot of it just needs some commitment from public representatives. It's not only about money. I remember, Brother Shepherd, that I had a complaint once when I was a counselor at Itegwini, and this was in Alipo Road in Mirbank. And there was a pothole in the center. Do you know, I made a call to them at the Itegwini Municipal, and I was a counselor then. By that afternoon, the thing was filled up. It was filled up and sorted out. It's just a matter of, you know, I've always said that if you want to be a public counselor, and you're driving past, and you see on the street corner, there's a whole pile of rubbish, of garbage lying there. And if you didn't stop and get hold of your people in the municipality to come and clean it and sort it out, then you're in the wrong business. Then you're in the wrong business. So if you look at the state of the city itself, what it was and what it is today, and that will tell you what to anticipate, what it's going to be like in 10 years' time. That is already going to tell you. So if it is what it is today, can you imagine what it's going to be in 10 years' time? But very little or nothing is happening about it. That's the problem. So you know, there's so many questions. These are local people. There are ratepayers that complain. They can't sleep. People are partying. Taverns and bars are open 24 hours, which they're not supposed to be. They got licensing hours and everything. Where are all these councillors? Tell me. You want to find the South African Police Services, Brother Shepherd? Go and find them. Where the prostitutes, the sex workers are working, go, and I promise you, if you want to meet me one of the nights, I take you and show you. If you want to find police officers, go and find them in those areas, because they go to these poor girls and they can take some money from them. When the one vehicle goes away, the next one goes and takes money, and they'll be only circulated in those areas, not everywhere the crime is taking place elsewhere. So,
Yeah, you know, I tell you, we've run out of time there. It's nearly Tuesday day, but absolutely brilliant, Ahmed. You have a, mashallah, beautiful day ahead. Inshallah, talk to you soon, Ahmed.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.